we are talking tech on Thursdays on The Takeaway. Tech Talk Thursdays on The Takeaway. I love that. Sam Grobart is here, personal technology editor for our partner, The New York Times. And down in Baltimore at PRI member station WEAA in Baltimore is Peter Wehmer, who's a contributing technology writer for The New York Times. He's also the author of Translucent Databases. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sam. Now, in Baltimore, they are beginning to wire their city for all kinds of sophisticated, ubiquitous wireless all throughout the city. Sam, first of all, it seems that the United States is way behind in this process, that there are many countries in the world where it's impossible to escape wireless technology, and that actually to step outside of a wireless network is to feel naked in places like South Korea. First of all, why are we so far behind, Sam?
Well, John, I think we're probably behind in the sense that we are behind because WiMAX is a new technology based on two reasons, geography and culture. Countries such as South Korea, Japan, Israel, fairly small countries, pretty easy to get them covered with a good wireless situation. And then you also have countries that are not averse to technology. Again, South Korea, Japan, Israel have robust technology industries, and it's part of their culture to kind of embrace new tech.
You know, and there is a really interesting culture question. In Japan, wireless technology and all kinds of aspects of cell phone functionality are so ubiquitous that it's actually made Japanese cell phones almost impossible to sell. The Japanese look at a cell phone and they want it to actually make toast.
Right.
The rest of us look at a Japanese cell phone and go, get that away from me. It scares me. I mean, it's really changed the way the entire culture views technology. Right, Sam?
It has. And we wrote about the Japanese cell phone market about a week ago where we talked about it being a Galapagos syndrome, highly evolved species that don't exist anywhere else in the world. That's sort of what the cell phones are like over there.
All right, so Peter Wehmer, what evolution is likely to take place down there in Baltimore as WiMAX technology is wired into the culture of the city of Baltimore, Peter?
I think people are going to discover all kinds of things they can do with their laptops when they're out and around. Because the one thing, I mean, I was just amazed. I was at lunch and, you know, I was talking to someone. We popped open the laptop and we were able to get 6 megabits per second down. Which is a lot of bandwidth, and that's more than a lot of people have in their house.
Which means you could download like a hologram of Abraham Lincoln or something like right there?
Well, you know, we could do that. It turns out we were just talking about software, so we were able to pull something down pretty quickly. But, you know, these open up lots of different opportunities, and you're using this with your laptop, so it's a very open platform. And you can do practically anything. So VoIP is very easy to do over
voice over internet protocol. It's like Skype phones, that sort of thing.
That's right. Yeah, right. Like a Skype phone, or there's certainly all the different video you can get. And so all of a sudden your laptop becomes kind of this TV that can access anything anytime you want. And that's kind of a neat feature. And there, you know, it's hard to know what people are going to do with the rest of the opportunity, but I'm sure they're going to be scientists who are wiring up houses to do different things. And, you know, there are lots of different opportunities when you have this kind of cloud covering a city.
Peter, that's fascinating. This is Amy Holmes. I'm going to try to jump into all this techie talk. So does this mean that you, if you're just sitting in a park, you can open up your laptop and go online in Baltimore?
Right. I don't want to say that it covers the entire city because it doesn't, but it covers most of the city. And you can pop open the laptop, and not only can you go online, but you can go online with a very fast connection, you know, something that's as fast as many cable modems and actually kind of faster than most DSL lines I've found.
All right. So Peter Wehmer, I got your pronunciation all wrong because I was confusing WiMAX with Wehmer. So, that's how confused and befuddled I am. And Sam Grobart, you both write for The New York Times about technology. The issue here, it seems to me, Sam, is that suddenly the park or the street corner is no different than your living room in terms of your ability to access media, software, and have full functioning communication with anyone in the world. Right, Sam?
That's right. And that's probably for many people as much a curse as a blessing, similar to allowing, you know, wireless access in airplanes. You are now available to be reached by, say, your boss. You know, it's no longer, oh, I was walking in between appointments. I didn't get your email. No, you got my email. I know you did because we have WiMAX, and why didn't you check your laptop and things like that?
Well, but Peter Wehmer, let's get back to the evolution question. We've seen what users have done to drive the changes in cell phones and connectivity in South Korea, you know, teenage girls being very, very important first adopters in South Korea. Same in Japan. What's likely to happen, do you think, in the United States when we cross some critical threshold in a city where everybody can see everybody else through their, Wi-Fi laptop webcams?
You know, the one thing, I mean, that always comes to my mind is the question of what's going to happen with webcams and video chat. Because right now, once you have this WiMAX in Baltimore, it's very easy for me to pop up my laptop and just start a really nice high-resolution video chat with anybody I want to because the bandwidth is there and I can do it on the street corner the same way I would pop open a cell phone. And you know, the video phones have been something that have been promised to us for 40, 50 years from all the different world fairs and things like that. And it may not be something that the culture is ready for, but it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves because I know like a number of people in business really like to negotiate face-to-face. And so all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to be able to dodge things as easily with a cell phone if people insist on firing up a video chat. And your boss isn't going to be able to say, you know, why can't you, turn on the camera?
I'm going into the tunnel.
So, Peter, here's just a fairly basic question. Why Baltimore? Why this particular city?
I'm not sure exactly what happened in the boardroom when they made these decisions, but my guess is that there are several factors. One, a lot of people say that Baltimore is demographically very, very average. So it has a mixture of poor, a mixture of rich. It has a mixture of all these different things. And I think a lot of America thinks of Baltimore because they see the TV show The Wire. But really, it's got a huge educational foundation here. I mean, Johns Hopkins is an amazing juggernaut. It's got a beautiful, downtown. And it has a wide range of financial businesses. So it really is kind of a microcosm of America, and I suspect that may be why they started it.
And it's been a test market for years. Peter Wehner, contributing technology writer for The New York Times and author of Translucent Databases. Good luck down there in Baltimore. Sam Grobart, before we go, how much is this infrastructure going to cost nationally? Any idea?
Well, it has been part of the stimulus bill, particularly to build out in rural areas, and we're dealing in the billions of dollars.
All right.
So it'll be determined later.
Coming to a neighborhood near you, WiMAX Technology. It's a part of our Tech Thursday conversation. Sam Grobart, personal technology editor for The New York Times. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks, John.